Hi everybody, this is the International Superstar and you're listening to PlanetIRL.com.
There's no question for that. Those two had been running close to side by side at the exit of turn number two.
For the PPG Cup. Look, oh, look at that. Here he comes. And he gets him. Can he get him back? Can he hang on?
Does he make it? They have contact. Now returning. Oh, they stuff each other. They take each other out of the race. Neither one would give.
Who's going to win it? Oh, Hardy's won it. Hardy's took it. Can you believe that? Hardy's took it at the finish line.
Hello and welcome to another PlanetIRL.com podcast. I'm Steph, joined today by Paul, where we're preparing to offer you our Firestone Indy Lights season preview, and we'll follow that up with a little preview of the IndyCar Series race at St. Pete as well. But before we get to that, we had the distinct privilege of speaking this weekend to Firestone Indy Lights driver Pippa Mann, who will spend her sophomore season in the series with Sam Schmidt Motorsports. We got to catch up with her on her prospects for the 2010 season, as well as asking her about her position with the newly formed IZOD IndyCar Series pace car team that she and four other Firestone Indy Lights drivers will be taking part in for the first time this year.
So we're here with Firestone Indy Lights driver Pippa Mann, who is driving this year, of course, with Sam Schmidt Motorsports. Pippa, first of all, thanks for joining us on a Saturday morning following your time last night at the Pacers game.
Yes, hi, good morning. I seem to remember last time I spoke to you guys, I had just signed with Sam's team, so we're about 4 months further on since then now.
That's right. You had just signed with them. So I guess let's start there then. Since we last talked in December, like you said, you had just signed with Sam and you were on cloud nine. I think you had just actually made that announcement a couple days before, I think, when we last talked. So you've had some time to sleep on it now. You've done some more work with the team. How are you feeling now going forward looking into 2010?
I'm really, really looking forward to this season. You know, I can't wait for next weekend to get here and the season to get underway. We haven't had perfect preseason testing, but then, hey, preseason testing never is. But relatively, it's been pretty good, and I'm really looking forward to St. Pete, to Barber, to Long Beach, and I just cannot wait for the Freedom 100 in May to get here either.
Very cool. How are you finding your new teammates? You are, it looks like, the most experienced member of your team at the moment. You've got two rookies in the series joining you this year. How's that been going for you so far?
It's actually been going really well. J.K. Vernet may be a rookie to the series, but he comes with a really, really strong European background, and he's going to be very, very, very fast this year everywhere where we go. So it's pretty cool. And coming out of last year was kind of a tough year for me in the league. And when I first joined up with Sam's team, I understood that actually last year I didn't learn as much as I could have done or needed to have done. So someone like J.K., although he's a true rookie, he actually knows probably as much or more than me. So he's actually been a really, really cool teammate to have around. And Philip Major, my other teammate for this year, he's a Canadian kid, really, really nice guy. I like Philip a lot.
Very good. But even that being said, with both of them having strong European backgrounds, that still puts you as having miles more of oval experience than the two of them. Have you had any oval testing with the team this offseason? And do you have a sense of whether it looks as though actually every rookie in the series that signed on so far has come from Europe? So there seems to be quite a few new drivers in this series that don't have oval experience. Are you expecting that to have any impact at all as you get to, because I think the Freedom 100 is the first oval race on the schedule this year, is it not?
The Freedom 100 is the first oval race on the schedule this year, and obviously, completely, totally, and utterly selfishly, I would love for that to have an impact on it. Unfortunately, however, you know, we went and did an oval test and I got one day of track time at the oval test. And obviously Philip, who hadn't done it before, did two. And all of the rookies are going to have another day of oval testing before we go to Indy. So I actually don't think it will impact on it. Yes, I will be looked at to be, in inverted commas, possibly the team leader at those events. But we only have five oval races this year in Indy Lights.
Right.
In IndyCar, you have a 50-50 split just about, so it's very balanced. In Indy Lights this year, they've taken the series really towards a road and street course bias. And for me, having discovered last year how much I love oval racing, I actually thought that was quite a shame with my European background. I thought the 50-50 split was pretty good. So would I love it to have an effect at Indy? Do I think it really will? Probably not. It depends how much testing they give us all when we get there and just where everybody rolls out the truck. If you roll out the truck and you have a good car, you can be confident as a rookie or confident as an experienced driver. And okay. You know, with Sam's team, you're going to roll out of the truck and have good cars.
Absolutely. And I don't think anybody would question that if you're coming into the series not with a great deal of oval experience, then Sam Schmidt Motorsports is the place that you want to be.
It's a great place to be, but don't forget, I came in last year with no oval experience whatsoever either, and I was actually fastest at the first test and had some really great qualifyings on the ovals last year. The racecraft proved a bit more difficult to learn. I had to learn what I needed from my race car, because last year I had the most awesome qualifying car and not necessarily the most awesome race car. And with Sam's team, we're all going to get the best possible chance at best race cars everywhere. So I think the guys will learn really, really fast.
You know, Pippa, bringing up the ovals, since you came from Europe and didn't have experience, and, you know, a lot of other folks are coming from Europe, I think there's kind of a sense that before the Europeans get here, oval racing is kind of looked down upon as, oh, it's only four turns. It can't be that bad. Well, first of all, tell us really what the different skills are required for an oval race. And were you surprised at how much different it was?
When you go testing on an oval for the first time, it generally doesn't take drivers that long to kind of get up to flat out. Some drivers learn the line quite naturally. Some take a bit more time. On the ovals, I found the line pretty naturally. But what takes the time to get used to is running three wide in a pack, trying to still stay flat out, trying to hold your car either on the bottom, in the middle, or on the top, trying to make sure you don't move out of your lane and come to someone else. And then you have the problem of other cars moving around a lot around you in the oval races. I mean, everybody knows you're not supposed to change lines, but you know, you watch the races and there are an awful lot of people who constantly change lines and lanes out there. So it's just something you have to get used to.
There's probably a sense of relief in the Indy Lights series that you guys are not going back to Kansas last year or after last year.
You know,
we went there last year and it was just terrible weather. As I recall, it was 35 mile an hour sustained winds. And
I know, but it's kind of unfair to blame the weather on the racetrack.
Oh, right. No, absolutely.
I think we should be going back to Kansas, and I think it's very unfair that the racetrack has, in essence, been blamed for the bad weather. You know, there's nothing you can do about bad weather.
No, absolutely. I think we saw, you know, we saw the lights at Chicago last fall, a very similar track to Kansas, obviously, and you guys put on one of the best races I've ever seen there last year. It was just a phenomenal race. So, yeah, I don't blame the track.
It was a pretty good show.
For what it's worth, my understanding, having spoken to the Firestone Indy Lights PR coordinator this week, is that the reason that they're not racing at Kansas this year is just a scheduling conflict, with the IndyCar race having been bumped to the Saturday at such short notice. They couldn't fit the Indy Lights race in, so I don't think this is meant to be a permanent change to the schedule. We should see it back in 2011.
Oh, that's cool, but, you know, hopefully in 2011 I won't be in Indy Lights, so...
Well, that's a good point.
Speaking of you going to the IndyCar series, apparently there's been some rumors bumping around different places that you were surprised to hear about, about possibly you joining on with the team for an Indianapolis 500 run. Any more knowledge falling your way about that?
You're the second person in just over 12 hours to ask me this in an interview. I keep hearing this on Twitter, and every time somebody says to me, hey, I hear you're doing the Indy 500, I'm like, cool, which team am I doing it with? You know, hey, I hear you're doing the Indy 500, cool, can you tell me who's giving me the money and who I need to call?
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to do the 500. I think this year's going to be a really strong year for the 500. I think we're going to see maybe 40 cars out there trying to qualify. I would love to do it. As I said, hey, you want me to come drive for your team? Give me a call.
Absolutely. I would drive for free if somebody wanted to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But unfortunately, there's a small case of finding the money to take to the team to be able to run the race. You know, everybody has to have sponsors. And even when you have sponsors, I'm a rookie. I have no IndyCar experience at all. You know, obviously, would I like to do it? Yes. Does it look likely? Possibly not. But I keep hearing this again and again and again on Twitter, so maybe if everybody keeps repeating it all the time, you never know. Stranger things have happened.
Sure. That line of thinking actually takes me into two different topics that we would like your opinion on, Pippa. The first one being that the origin, I think, of these rumors is the fact that there is definitely in 2010 an increase in the number of women running in the IndyCar series. And
absolutely.
Running well. How does that feel for you sitting in the next tier down development series looking for a way to move up? Is that must be encouraging at the very least.
It's really, really cool. You know, I was watching all the timing in Brazil, and I actually know Anna from last year. She's kind of a friend of mine. And I know Simona a bit as well. They were the two new girls who have moved into IndyCar racing. And Anna was having kind of a tough time, and then she just got it all together on race day and did a really good job in the race. And then Simona, I mean, what job did she do?
Definitely.
She was up there all weekend long in the timesheets, and she had a great performance in the race. It was such a shame they had the problem with the suspension on her car, because she was doing a fantastic job. Talking of Twitter again, I actually kind of got myself involved in a little bit of controversy during Brazil weekend on Twitter, because someone who will remain nameless made a comment about how all the female drivers should be put in their own league because
this keeps coming up.
And I kind of turned round to the guy who's pretty well known and directed a comment of him, well, actually, stop whinging. And by the way, Simona's currently 12th. Doesn't that spoil your theory? And I don't think I have ever had as many responses to me in one day or in a couple of hours as after I made that comment. My God, it just went mad. Luckily, I'd say about 70% of the responses agreed with me. Mm-hmm. And about 30% of them were just like, oh my gosh, you can't say this to this guy. What do you know? And
yeah,
I had about three people whom just kind of kept repeating that constantly for again and again and again pretty much all day long. Huh. I nearly felt like writing, yeah, I've got it the first time.
Yeah.
I didn't go looking for controversy. It was just something that I felt needed to be said.
Absolutely. And sitting where you are.
Especially because Anna and Simona, I do count them as friends as mine. So it's not just an attack on who I am and what I do. It's an attack on two girls who I consider friends. And let's face it, people may or may not be friends of, fans of Miss Danica Patrick, on track, off track, whatever. But last year, top driver, not in a Ganassi or Penske car.
Absolutely.
That should merit a bit of respect.
Yes, no question.
And, you know, Steph and I actually had that conversation a couple of days ago offline. We were discussing this, and, you know, it's people on the forums and kind of the fans that duck in and duck out. And, you know, all they want to do is, you know, most of them are the ones that, like you said, are not fans of Danica Patrick. So they're saying, oh, well, look, now Danica's got these other girls that she's going to race with that are going to beat her. And, you know, I don't know Danica. I know enough of her through the media. And I have to assume that Anna feels this way, and that you feel this way, and that Simona feels this way, and all the other girls, is you don't want to be compared to the other girls. You want to be compared on equal footing to the other race drivers, and I can't imagine that it would be really much of a feather in your hat to say, oh, look, I beat Anna. I beat Danica.
Yes, you see, to me and to them as well, it's just not about that. You know, we're just out there as racing drivers and trying to do a good job. But I think the thing that's important to acknowledge is there are a lot of people who say, well, sure, you know, you want to just be compared the same way as us, but some of you wouldn't even have a ride if it wasn't for your gender. And in some cases, in the current marketing world, there is a little bit of that involved sometimes. Sometimes the girl thing attracts more sponsorship. Sometimes it attracts more criticism. You just have to take the both things together and learn to juggle them both together. So while I never look at it as, you know, I'm trying to beat Anna or I'm trying to beat Danica or I'm trying to beat whoever, I'm just trying to do a good job and beat as many people as possible. I understand that because I am a girl and because some of the marketing is going to use me as a girl, that comparison is going to be made. And all I can do is say, well, if you want to make the comparison, that's fine, but compare me to everyone else too. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to stand here and say, oh, I'm just going to take the good stuff and ignore all the rest of it that comes with it. There is this other side to the coin, and you have to accept both sides together. We're all racing drivers. We all want to be out there, and we all want to compete. But look at it like this. Look at it as if you're comparing two English guys. two Canadian guys. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a way you could put it. You're still comparing them the same as everyone else, but you're creating, as I said,
a
almost like two English guys. Yeah. And, you know, if you are a Canadian guy and you can use that to get your money, you're going to have no problem being used in advertising as a Canadian guy.
True.
So I think as female racing drivers, that's something we have to accept if we want to be able to use that, which is what the sponsors want from us in terms of marketing ability. So it's a double-edged sword and it swings both ways, but there's definitely a medium there.
It makes a lot of sense. Yep. This leads to the other topic, which came to mind because you mentioned the sponsors. The Indy Lights series has not got a TV deal set up for this year. Has that had any impact on you or on the team or on anyone else in the paddock that you're aware of? How's that coming down to you on the driver level?
It's definitely difficult, you know. It does make life more difficult. However, the races are now going to be on Sundays most of the time for the Indy Lights series or on the same day as the IndyCar race. So at the track, we'll be racing in front of a much bigger fan base. They're still going to show the races live on the Indy Lights or IndyCar.com website in the media section. Apparently, they're going to have a highlights package that they're going to show before the start of the IndyCar race. And our televised races last year never got many viewers anyway, which is why they've decided to discontinue doing the whole program just for us. So if you're up front, you're at the front, you're winning races, you're doing a good job, your name's going to go out on that IndyCar package in front of many more people than it would have done in front of the small package. So is it a good thing? No. Obviously, we'd love to have both. We can't have both. Maybe this is the compromise we have to make for now.
All right, Pip, but let's switch gears real quick to one of your more, your new off-duty or off-track duties you got coming up with the new IndyCar pace car team.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and what your duties involve in that?
Well, first of all, it was really, really cool to be selected as a member of the team. It's a new initiative this year. So in it, there's myself, Martin Plowman, Charlie Kimball, James Hinchcliffe, and Stefan Wilson. And we will be giving the guests Honda hot laps on the race weekends in the pace cars. We will be going to various dinners and events with the guests representing the Firestone Indy Lights series, even representing the Izod IndyCar series. And we get to do some cool things. Like last night, I had an appearance at the Pacers game, my first ever basketball game.
And what did you think of basketball?
I couldn't believe how fast moving it was. The points just kind of go up and up and up really quickly. You turn away and turn back and the scores change completely.
It's not quite like hockey.
No, not quite like hockey.
Or soccer. Or, I'm sorry, football.
So what's the specific plan on race weekends with the pace car team? How does one get a pace car ride?
Yeah, well, how would I get a pace car ride?
How would you get a pace car ride? Okay, that's a really cool question. Last night at the Pacers game was actually our first time this year that we were able to have some pace car rides to give away. Normally the rides are purchased by corporate guests of the series, and so that's normally how they're distributed. But for the fans this year, there's going to be several competitions throughout the year and events throughout the year run through the IRL and through the IndyCar.com website, where there will be opportunities to win vouchers for pace car rides.
Cool.
I have to say, I did a pace car ride at Chicago 2 or 3 years ago with Alan.
Did you like
Senior.
It?
Oh, my gosh. I actually thought he was going to roll the car over. It was amazing. It's amazing how small the track gets when you start going. I think he was doing like 115, so add another 100 miles an hour onto that. But yes. I was surprised how small the track got. It really felt like you're driving in a bowl, doesn't it?
Not so much at the big tracks. However, when you get to somewhere like Iowa, then yes, it really feels like you're driving in a bowl.
You know, of course, he was driving one-handed, too. It kind of made me a bit nervous.
Like just a casual Sunday drive, right?
But yes, that's always reassuring.
Yeah, who am I to tell Big Al, can you please put two hands on the wheel? So, yeah, that was very exciting. And I think if anyone gets a chance to experience those pace car rides, it is definitely a thrill and worth making the effort to try to obtain one of those. It's a treat, I'll give you that.
Yeah, no, it's something I'm just really, really proud to be a part of. It's going to be really, really cool getting involved with all the extra events as well. For example, in St. Pete, we're not only doing the Honda hot laps, we're also part of the parade that happens on Thursday evening in St. Pete. And then on Saturday, I think, we're part of a question and answer session on the Indie Fan Zone stage. So getting to be involved in all those activities and getting to be around the fans a bit more, that's really cool to me.
Yeah, I think that'll be really exciting to get more publicity to the handful more of the lights drivers. I think that will be key because I think a lot of the people that follow the IndyCar series aren't able to keep up with the Indy Lights. I think there's a lot of driver turnover and people switching rides from week to week. So to give them another opportunity for fans to connect with the drivers of the Indy Lights series is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, we were selected, I think, obviously mainly because of what they feel we can achieve on track this year, but also because we were the drivers who tend to have the bigger followings on Facebook and on Twitter. So we're the Indy Lights drivers who people are more likely to have heard of or know who we are. Mm-hmm. So that's the other reason why we were the Indy Lights drivers whom they selected.
That makes it that much more of an honor.
See, Facebook and Twitter are good for something.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Obviously, you've got a good following on both. So I think that makes you the perfect candidate.
I made over 1,000 on Twitter the other day, which was kind of cool. So I think I'm up to 1,075 now or something.
Ooh. We would try to get you a few more, but I'm pretty sure anyone that we follow is probably already following you.
Almost certainly.
Best. Well, I think that's pretty much all we have, Pippa. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. We certainly wish you the best of luck. I know you said you're testing at Homestead this week before you go to
Homestead Road Course, not the Oval, but yes, we are on Tuesday.
All right. Well, best of luck to you this coming week at St. Pete and all year long. And we look forward to hopefully talking to you again soon down the road.
That's great. I'll speak to you guys again soon.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
And that was Pippa Mann joining us again for her thoughts on the 2010 season. Thanks again, Pippa, for taking the time to speak with us this past weekend. So here we are to give you our preview of the Firestone Indy Lights season. As an overall summary, the Indy Lights season this year will be a 13-race schedule as opposed to the 17-race IndyCar Series schedule. It's roughly a 33% split between ovals, road courses, and street courses. They have 5 oval courses, 4 road courses, and 4 street courses that they'll be running on this year. And that, of course, is counting Edmonton as a street course. Nobody ever seems to know what to do with Edmonton. I call it a street course. That's perhaps an argument for another day. Now, the places where the schedule does not line up with the IndyCar Series is worthy of note. Of course, the Firestone Indy Lights don't make the trip to the 2 overseas races in Sao Paulo and Motegi, but they also this year will not be joining the IndyCar Series at Kansas, which we are told was due to a scheduling issue with the IndyCar race having been shifted to the Saturday, and working with that and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series made it impossible for the Indy Lights to fit into the schedule for that weekend. And they also will not be running at Texas, which has been the situation for a number of years on the schedule.
And of course, with the high number of rookies that we saw in the series in 2009, there's a good shift of a lot of those coming forward to 2010. So we'll have a lot of experience of the rookies from 2009 this year. Also, a lot of them have shifted between teams. Not only has Pippa gone from Panther to Sam Schmidt, but her teammate at Panther, Martin Plowman, is now at AFS Andretti Green. I guess they're AFS Andretti Autosport now. But that team that fielded J.R. Hildebrand last year and Sebastian Saavedra, neither of those drivers return. Saavedra has gone to Brian Herta Autosport. Hildebrand, of course, is still looking to cash in and come up with a ride in the IndyCar series. The AFS team this year will be fielding cars for Charlie Kimball and, of course, Martin Plowman that drove for Panther last year. Interesting to note, all of the rookies that are currently confirmed for the 2010 Firestone Indy Lights series are all from Europe, which means there's very little experience of these rookies on the ovals this year, which will really make things interesting, especially considering, as Pippa pointed out, that the first oval race is at Indianapolis, which is really kind of throwing them right into the fire, jumping both feet in, you know, choose your cliche there. But that's a tough place for a rookie to have their first oval experience, don't you think?
Absolutely, and I think that it's a convenient coincidence that the Freedom 100 is the only televised Firestone Indy Lights event on Versus this year, which means that we will all get to join in the fun. That is a good segue into our point about the TV coverage for 2010, the Firestone Freedom 100. The Indianapolis Motor Speedway will be shown live as part of Versus coverage of Carb Day on May 28th. all other track activity for the Firestone Indy Lights season will be carried live on Race Control on IndyCar.com, which is a free application available to everyone. It does require you to sign up for the service, but that is the only obligation that is carried thereby. It's worth pointing out that this was a decision that was made by the series, not by Versus, and there were a number of theories to justify this move. The league did a little bit of research on their own and found that the vast majority of their viewers were already watching the races live online before they were tuning in to the Monday telecasts on Versus. And having the shows on Versus on Mondays was preventing the series from putting together highlight reels to show either prior to the IndyCar races or in highlight shows such as the Speed Report or Wind Tunnel or that sort of thing on Sunday evenings, because Versus did place an embargo on televising any of that footage until it appeared in the Monday telecast for the first time. So this, despite the fact that it has been challenging for the teams to find sponsors through not having the additional benefit of being able to sell the TV deal, it does carry the benefit that you'll see more Firestone Indy Lights footage in television review shows, and you'll also be seeing highlights of the races as part of the Eyes on IndyCar series coverage on ABC and Versus in 2010.
And one thing that's notable about this race coming up is that there's only 16 or 17 cars on the entry list for the Firestone Indy Lights in St. Pete, which is really a shame because the last couple of years, we've seen a much higher car count in that series. It's been a very competitive series, so I hope that they're able to bring those car counts back up to the 20, 22, 24 like we've seen the last couple of years.
Well, the encouraging thing about that is that there are a number of teams that haven't fully announced their intentions for the 2010 season. PBIR ran a test a couple of weeks ago, and they have not had any driver announcements thus far. Kingdom Racing is fielding a part-time entry this year, and St. Pete is not one of the races where they have an entry, so we can expect to see them at least occasionally later in the season. Walker had stated an intention to run two entries this season. They just today confirmed Jonathan Summerton. I'm not sure if we will see a second car there, but it's entirely possible. And some other teams that we still may see this year, according to their websites, we have Brian Stewart Racing, Elf Racing, Genoa tested at Barber, but we don't have an official driver announcement yet. Alliance Motorsports has an active website, and Team E as well tested at Barber, but we don't have an official driver announcement. So we very well could see the car count swell as the year goes on.
Another point that I've noticed here is that Rahal Letterman appears to no longer be associated with Anderson Racing. Rahal Letterman fielded an entry in the 12 hours of Sebring last weekend. So it could be that they've shifted their focus toward that series. There's also been some rumors that, you know, they could come up with some sort of collaboration to run Graham Rahal with Target Chip Ganassi starting Indianapolis and beyond. So hopefully this move that they've disassociated with Anderson Racing doesn't spell bad things for Rahal Letterman. Let's hope that they're just refocusing their efforts into another avenue. Another driver I'm kind of excited to see is Junior Strauss coming back this year with HVM. Last year he drove with, and I'm drawing a blank on who he drove with.
PDM,
you're right, with PDM last year. And I think he either won both of the races at St. Pete last year or won the first one and finished second or third in the second.
No, I think he won both events.
I think he did too. Yeah, and then unfortunately he lost his ride due to some financial issues fairly early in the season, so we weren't really able to see what he was able to do through the year. I hope his ride with HVM this year pans out for a full season. Interesting also for that ride, that's being sponsored by Shell, which obviously was a big sponsor of Open Wheel through the years. The last time they were involved was with Kenny Breck's ride when he went to kart with Bobby Rahal in 2000-2001. They kind of abandoned ship with the whole Shell, Quaker State, that whole conglomerate. They took their money and ran elsewhere. So hopefully Shell will be dipping their toes back in the series here. And with a productive year at HVM and Lights, it'd be great to see an automotive company like that back in the IndyCar series, maybe in 2011 and beyond.
For those who are interested in North America's contribution to the Firestone Indy Lights series for 2010, there are currently two Americans and two Canadians registered with the series. Charlie Kimball is entering his second year, and he is with Andretti Autosport, which, of course, is the team that's won the championship for the last 2 years in a row, puts him in an excellent position to repeat that same feat. And an interesting thing about Charlie Kimball is that, being that he has type 1 diabetes, he's entered into a very interesting sponsorship partnership with Levimir Flexpen, who's decided to support him and his desire to increase awareness of his disease in the North American landscape. So that is a noble cause indeed, and it's absolutely something to be applauded, both for Charlie and his determination and for the sponsor in finding such an excellent opportunity to step up and get this disease and their product out into the marketplace. And the second American driver, of course, is Jonathan Somerton, who we just found out today is confirmed with Walker Racing for this year. Anyone who's been following Jonathan on Twitter and Facebook knows how hard he's been working in this offseason to get himself a ride, and so it's great to see him have some success with that.
He's definitely one of those young American guys that I think is important to get into the series. I think he has the personality, he has the talent to become very successful in the IndyCar series. He's shown well before in other series, and I think Walker will be able to prepare a car for him this year that will be able to showcase his talent. So I look forward to watching him this year.
Absolutely. And, of course, I have to give a shout-out to my Canadian guys. We have James Hinchcliffe, who's joined Team Moore this year and had a very encouraging test at Barber with the series back at the end of February. This is Hinch's second year with the series, and he, prior to that, spent 3 years in the Atlantic Series. I think, by all accounts, this has to be looked at as a make-or-break year for Hinch. I think it's time for him to really show some good results and look at starting to advance himself up the ladder and into the IndyCar series. It's certainly, he's at that point in his career where something's got to give. He can't languish in the support series forever, and I think that this is his year to show his stuff. And the other Canadian that we'll see this year is Philip Major, who is joining the series as a rookie from Sam Schmidt Motorsports. And he's spent the last 2 years in British Formula 3, so he's another one of these guys who hasn't gotten any oval experience, so it'll be interesting to see how he comes into his own in 2010.
Absolutely. I think there was some indication that Hinch may have had some potential funding for an IndyCar ride this year. Obviously, that didn't pan out, so hopefully he can take this extra year in 2010 in the Lights series and really show what he's made of and get some backing this year and hopefully land a ride with the big cars next year.
Okay, is that everything we have to talk about for the Indy Lights series for this year?
I think so. I think it's going to be an interesting year. Particularly look forward to seeing them on track at Indianapolis. I have seen them the last few years on Carb Day at Indy as part of the Freedom 100, and let me tell you, that is a race worth watching. They put on a hell of a show there for 40 laps. It is, if you can't make it to Carb Day, it is worth setting the DVR for to watch that race, because they really do put on. You want to see three wide at Indy, that's where you're going to see it. They put on a great show, and definitely worth checking out if you get a chance to.
So from there, let's lead into our quick preview of the race at St. Pete with the IndyCar series. What have we got?
Well, we got 24 cars this week. We lose Bia. But we pick
which is
up.
Really too bad, because she did a really great job in her opener at Sao Paulo. I think that a lot of people were hoping that the sponsorship would step up to keep her going this year, and it's a shame to see her drop out of the potential full-time running, but we do hope to see her back later in the season.
Absolutely. I think she exceeded a lot of people's expectations there. She obviously showed that she was more than just a Brazilian name while she was there. She very much presented herself well, and I thought she drove a great race last week. So we lose her, but we pick up Graham in the Sarah Fisher ride.
And there really aren't enough good things to say about that.
No, not absolutely. I think there's no bad that comes from that situation, other than obviously Sarah Fisher Racing is a little behind the ball. So Graham may not have the out of the gate may not be as strong as he would be in an Andretti or a Ganassi car. Or, you know, pick your top runner there. But
you may
think,
very well see them make faster progress this weekend than you might expect, though. We might be surprised.
Absolutely. I'd be surprised if Graham doesn't end up in the top 10. Whether or not he finishes there, I don't want to say that. But I think he's going to give that car a good ride this weekend, and I look for good things. Absolutely.
And either way, it's a great story.
Absolutely. I agree.
How many driver owners have we ever seen that would be willing to give up their seat for a young prospect and say outwardly, he's going to do a better job in that car than I would?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I know one that should have.
You wouldn't be referring to my countryman, would you?
I am referring to that Canadian. Well, We'll just leave it. How about we just leave it at that?
Okay.
So that's the only driver change we have this weekend. From a car standpoint, we have some interesting stuff going on. We were talking about this pre-show here, the stuff going on at KV. Very interesting that Takuma Sato picks up the Lotus Cosworth sponsorship this weekend in the very traditional green and yellow car that you would see back in the early 60s with the Cooper Climax and whatnot.
That is a sweet looking
ride. It is a great looking ride. But interesting that Mario Marias in the 32 again this weekend appears to be racing in the other Lotus traditional color, that of the Johnny Walker special that Mario Andretti drove in F1 in the 77-78 time period. So you really see KV representing Lotus very well here. Everyone else I think is the same except Dario. The spotter guide right now shows Dario in the first special target scheme of the year, be driving for Cottonelle. What are those, Kleenexes, Q-tips, something like that?
Cottonelle is toilet paper.
It is. we'll try to go without making the connection to the fan then.
Poor Dario. He gets the toilet paper and the men's lotions sponsorships.
It was, you know, when
he's
we
really
talk,
getting the raw end of these deals, I think.
When we talked with Mike Hull over the winter, he said that they had some, I hate to use the term, gentle ribbing at Dario over that man lotion sponsorship, but he said they had a few laughs over it.
Well, it was a great partnership. People are still talking about the Vaseline men's lotion.
Did he win the race that weekend?
No, that was Will Power's weekend.
No.
That was at Edmonton.
That was at Iowa, wasn't it?
No, it was at Edmonton. Dude, I was there.
Oh. Why was I thinking that was Iowa?
I don't know, but it was definitely Edmonton.
Mm. All right. I take that back. Hey, so anyhow, that's all the changes then we see from the driver's standpoint.
In terms of the on-track product, I think that we can just expect to see more of the same that we saw in Sao Paulo, which is just complete insanity and lots of surprises. And that's, I think, what we have to look forward to on all of the street and hopefully also some of the road courses this season.
Let me give you a little tip for fantasy racing. This is a good weekend to use your non-Penske and Ganassi picks. I'll tell you right now, I did not pick any, you know, especially if you're doing the IndyCar.com or the Planet IRL fantasy where you only get to pick one guy, six times a year. This is certainly a time where you can take a long shot on a lot of guys and score some good points. I think Matos will look strong again this week. I don't think last week was a fluke. I expect KV to show better. I hope Takuma is a little more patient, although we've seen turn one at St. Pete can be an issue again. So hopefully he gets that figured out before turn one this week.
I'm hoping that the entire KV stable has been given a good old high school football coach talking to. And
yes.
That they'll be a little bit more level-headed this weekend than they
Absolutely.
Were out of the gate in Sao Paulo.
Last year, Mike Conway in the number 24 Dreyer and Reinbold machine, he qualified very well and unfortunately got collected in that first lap incident with Graham, and Dario kind of jumped the gun on it and caused some consternation, I guess, in the back of the field. Tagliani, I think he showed very well for himself last week before he unfortunately got taken out, and we discussed that at length last week of who's right, who's wrong in that argument. But nonetheless, Tags was running very strong last week. So it is a wide open field again this week. Ultimately, I didn't use my IndyCar pick on him, but I think it's going to be tough to beat Will Power again this weekend, though. Even though I just said maybe it's a good week not to use your Penske votes, I think in the end, Powers, boy, he's tough on these street courses particularly. Do you have any picks or anything for this week? Any things you're looking forward to?
No, you pretty much covered it. I'm loving the road and street courses, especially for 2010, because it's just such a wide open field. I don't even know where to start. I mean, I'm just scrolling through the spotter guide right now, and there are very few cars that would surprise me to see in the top five, especially after the way that we saw things get shaken up in Sao Paulo. So I am happy to just go in with an open mind and open eyes, and I'm going to be down there this weekend. So I will be fortunate enough to witness all of this in person, and I will be reporting from the track via Twitter and, of course, posting on planetirl.com to bring you all the news directly from the garage and track level itself.
Well, we will certainly look forward to that. And I think with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up here. We'll obviously look forward to speaking with you next week as we do our St. Pete wrap-up. As Steph said, she'll be on the ground this week in St. Pete, so be sure to follow all of her reporting. Check her out on Twitter at 99forever. also on planetirl.com. I'm sure she'll be posting often, pictures hopefully, if not lots of good reporting from there. So on behalf of Steph, again, special thanks to Pippa Mann for joining us. Thank you for listening to another episode of the planetirl.com podcast. Join us next week. And keep in mind that planetirl.com is your source online for blogs, podcasts, and photos covering the IZOD IndyCar Series and beyond.